Welcome back. This is Chris. Did you know that the James Webb Telescope can clearly see a single penny 24 miles away? Brad, with your glasses on, can you see a dime from 2.4 feet away?
Absolutely not. That's why I have to start wearing these readers, and I put them on so that I could read what I wanted to say. So it's funny that you talked about that, because by this time, my eyes, I can't even speak. My eyes are a little tired, and I need to wear these readers. And this is Brad, and this week's episode is brought to you by the word accommodate. Of a verb, a physical space, especially a building, provide lodging or sufficient space for. 2, fit in with the wishes or needs of. James. I give you a hard time about your inability to keep a schedule to meet with us on a podcast, but I would like to thank you for being accommodating to me and having to delayed start this evening. But I did tell you I would be delayed. So thank you, James.
That's fair. I appreciate you too, Brad. And everyone else, this is James, and this is our weekly Whiskey and Widgets podcast, where your whiskey is best over crushed ice, and your widgets see into the past.
Welcome back, everyone, to this episode. We always look forward to this recording. And anytime we do a podcast, it's a way for us to catch up and kind of talk about random stuff.
Excuse me?
So talking about random stuff, we can go back in time, as I alluded to a moment ago, and talk about the mail call.
We don't have a mail call this week.
No
mail call, which is okay. But for those who are wanting to interact with us, we do have an Instagram presence, Whiskey and Widgets. We post a lot of stuff in there, things that we drink, even things that we drink throughout the day. Or throughout the week, not necessarily just for this episode. So follow us there. And you can also email us if you want to be mentioned during this podcast. So mail call.
What's the Instagram account?
@gmail.com. Whiskey and Widgets.
Great. And we also have a Twitter, which I think I'm going to relinquish control of because I still haven't checked.
Oh, Brad.
We could connect that too, you know.
Well, I think we just need to have a shared spreadsheet with our passwords on them, and that way we can all get in.
I hate everything about the words you just used in that, like, that sentence should never exist. PSA to everyone listening: do not record your passwords in plain text, especially not in a spreadsheet. You will make an IT person somewhere cry,
or very happy, because then they can compromise all of your accounts.
I mean, maybe, but, you know, it's kind of like when a bell goes off, an angel somewhere loses their wings. When you write a password in a spreadsheet, someone dies inside just a little bit, probably me. So do it for me and my health, and have good password hygiene.
Another thing with our mail call, Chris, I think one time you mentioned that we have a YouTube where you post the podcast for those that can't listen to the podcast. Have you been keeping that updated?
You know, we need to be in a position where we can actually record locally, because then if we can record locally, then with your video and audio, I can actually put that together and make it easier.
I take offense to that, because we can record locally. The reason why we can't record locally,
we can record locally.
There's one individual that doesn't have the ability to set up the audio like I have, so that we could record locally and put it together. So, you know, so Chris, just say you, not we.
I just want to say, lots of opportunity here, fellas. Lots of opportunity.
Lots of opportunity for what? For you to learn how to record locally?
You know, this is my thought. I'll start recording locally when you start making simple syrups.
See, but the difference is me getting pre-made Aguilama. I'm hooked on that now.
Aguilama. Yeah, it's good Aguilama. Stuff. I can understand that.
Me getting that mix ready-made and pouring it into my drink achieves the purpose of me having a good whiskey sour. Your inability or unwillingness to record and set up record locally does not get us anywhere closer to our desire to record and be able to merge and do all these things that we want to do.
For everyone listening, you get to hear my voice every once in a while on these podcasts. Today, I'm using a better mic. Baby steps, Brad.
Because you want to sound like me, James? Steps. Is this what you wanted to? I'll talk like this the rest of the episode, too. I won't raise my voice. I'll talk to you in a very smooth and calm manner.
I don't know. First, I don't know if that's helpful.
Do you know what I have to do, James?
Yeah, do it.
I have to open my drink. Because this week...
Oh, shoot.
On a computer. You hear that?
Yeah. Back. A little bit of dogfish head, huh?
I have a dogfish head... Culinary Crafted Cocktails, a Vodka Crush Blood Orange Mango from a can. I did wipe off the can, by the way. I never drink out of cans, but I just started to. So I do wipe these cans down before I put them in my refrigerator with Clorox wipes. Just saying.
That's fair. That's just super like fair.
I wipe down my groceries.
You gotta be conscious of those things that can murder you, like germs and diseases. Tonight, I'm making a cocktail, and it's going to be ridiculous. So for just a little bit here, I'm going to go on mute while I get some things prepped.
See, James is going on mute, Chris. What are you drinking? Because he doesn't have his fancy headset, because we found out last week that he has hokey internet. Hokey, that's a new word.
I'm sorry, you can't use that word until next week. It hasn't been defined yet.
Oh, okay. That's a word to be defined.
To be defined. Tune in next week to learn what hokey means.
We have to put that on the list. Chris, yeah. What do you have while James disappears? Yes. And we can at least watch him wiggle, wiggle, wiggle with his Hawaiian shirt on.
He does have a nice Hawaiian shirt. I wonder if he has a collection of them. Maybe we'll wait. But I am drinking a Kona beer. Have you had Kona beer before?
No, I have not. Please explain to me what Kona beer is.
So the like Kona beer. Silence? No, it's Kona beer is from Hawaii. It's a Hawaiian beer. What's interesting, it's actually bottled here in Oregon, or at least produced here in Oregon. I could be wrong. I'll have to check. But my understanding, they're from Los Angeles, and they get distributed in Oregon or something like that. But they're starting to make seltzer. And you know how everyone's having this seltzer drink. So I'm drinking Kona Spiked Island Seltzer, strawberry guava.
I don't like the seltzers that have the malt in them. I like the neutral, the high noons, the dogfish, the things that are like the vodka soda-like drinks.
You said malt. What does that mean?
Well, you have that like syrupy type stuff, like the Truly, you know, it's like that malt beverages. I don't get into those malt beverages. I also, you know, I'll have a beer occasionally. I don't drink a lot of beer. Now, did you say this Cone of Silence beer comes from Hawaii, but it's out of Los Angeles? Is that what you just stated?
Yeah. So if you take a look at their, I don't know, Kona Brewing. And if you just go off by the bottle, it does note that they're from Los Angeles. So that is, I don't know. I'll have to look it up here just to make sure. Because they make good beer. I enjoy Longboard, which is one of their beers that they have.
Oh, I thought you were going to say you enjoy Longboard Skateboard. I didn't know you were into that.
No, I wish, man. I used to surf when I was young. But, you know, I don't live nowhere near a warmer ocean. But I used to do that, you know, back in the early 90s, I skateboarded as well. You know, that was a big thing back early 90s everyone goes out and enjoys, you know, outside. We didn't have before phones and all that stuff. So, but you don't see those as often anymore.
No, I see a lot of kids skateboarding. to be honest with you. A lot of kids on scooters as well. Yeah, even some adults.
Scooters, yeah. Yeah.
So that's that's that. So we're waiting for James to come back because this anticipation is, you know, something that's just taking my breath away. Or, you know, how do we say that? Anticipation's making me wait. Now he's bringing everything. Now you would figure, right, James, because we did delay this podcast, he knew that he wasn't going to be able to speak. He would have been prepared and had all his items for.
I would like to just stop you right there and say what I did was rearrange my schedule with my dinner and date with my wife in order to accommodate you having an addiction to sports ball. And so instead of preparing for this, I paid attention to her.
I appreciate you accommodating me, and I don't have an addiction with sports ball. I did. we were delayed because I wanted to go see a local baseball team in the playoffs. Not that I follow baseball. I do follow this team just because I go to the games, and it's something to get out and spend time with. I typically go with family members. So I do it for the experience. And because it was a playoff game and it was an exciting game, and I did leave early to come back, I wanted to see it. So it's not my addiction. I think baseball is absolutely boring, but when you're in the stands watching the game, it's fun. So,
you know, I did find out though, I went out to dinner yesterday, family dinner. I did find out that there is what they call the Banana League or something like that. Or some league where it's just a bunch of people. There's like six teams now that they do the craziest stuff. They don't follow any conventional baseball rule. And I'll have to take a look at that because I thought it was hilarious. It was created by a bunch of people that didn't like baseball. They thought it was too boring and all the stuff. So I'll have to look it up. But I want to go back to the Kona Brewing real quick. I want to do them right because I totally gave the wrong information. So Kona Brewing is
located. I'm glad you're doing the fact checking. Usually I do the fact checking, but I called you out so you could do your own fact checking. So from now on.
Yes. Well, I do love their beer. I just didn't know enough about them. I mean, I've had their Kona Light, their Longboard, which is an island lager. But they are originated from the Big Island back in 1994. And so they've grown since then, and they're making other drinks. So wanted to put that out there.
James, I see you have your wooden cutting. Jeez, I don't know what's going on with me over here today. James, I will start that over. Chris, edit that out. You know, we could have a blooper take.
Edit.
So edit. I hope that you guys didn't hear me stutter that. James, I see you have your wooden cutting board, your limes, which you cut in half. You have your lime squeezer. You have your shaker tin or aluminum. And your, what do they call those things for your shots again? James. We can't hear you, James. You walked away. James, come
away.
Back. Come back, James.
Apologies. I am back. So tonight I am demonstrating how you can make a simple drink in more steps than are necessary and in order to pretend it's a better result.
James, I just have to say this. You opened yourself up for that one because I did have a drink or two at the game. Just like you make a drink with more steps than necessary, you often explain things with more words than necessary. Somebody has to tell you, and I'm doing it now.
I want you to know that I had a lot of practice today being concise, succinct, and taciturn.
Whoa.
Tonight,
he used a new word.
Tonight, I am instead being verbose and a little bit ridiculous. Why? Because I am relaxing with a homemade mojito.
Whoa. I used to love mojitos. I went through phases with drinks as I was aging. I would find a drink that I would like and I would have it. What do they call that? I have to think about that. Somebody
fats?
Help.
Is it
no,
fats?
No.
Obsessions?
It's hyper-focused. Hyper-focus.
Addiction?
Hyper-focus.
Hyper-focused, James. Hyper-focused.
Okay.
Hey, just to go back really quick on that baseball. We're talking about, yeah, if you look them up, it's called Savannah Bananas. Basically, it's baseball that is just super entertaining. I'll post the the YouTube channel here.
Is that like, you know, the Harlem Globetrotters that for basketball?
Yeah, no, they kind of make fun of baseball.
When, who really? Are those other guys that, you know, the Bananas or something? Wasn't there a show with the Bananas or, you know, with the Monkeys, and they had like the baseball team back in the day, Bad News Bears and all this other stuff? James, I would like to say, can you please set yourself up to record locally? Because we have this YouTube channel that Chris said that if we could record locally, we could use. I think during these podcasts, you positioning a camera on your drink station while you make these drinks would be entertaining for those that listen to us.
Yeah, I can take a look.
Or watch us at that point.
You know, Brad, for you, I can probably do this thing.
You can accommodate.
You can accommodate me? Thank you, James. I appreciate that.
So for anyone that wants to make a mojito at home. You might as well
accommodate.
Yes, tell us how to make this mojito. Then I have a lot of questions for you. And I, you know, unless you guys hijacked this conversation, I sent you guys a podcast that I was listening to and it just made me think. And then also some recent news made me think. So I did a lot of thinking.
When you're making a mojito, the most important ingredient is the mint. You have to have good mint that's fresh. Second most important ingredient? What?
Do you grow that mint?
My wife does.
So it's homegrown mint?
Correct.
Oh, that's amazing.
They don't grow in Wisconsin.
You bought the whom?
The limes.
Oh, I didn't ask about the limes. I asked about the mint.
Yeah, that's fair. So tonight I'm freshly squeezing some limes. I'm using a 1/2 ounce of my rich syrup, which is a 2-to-1 ratio. Classically, simple syrups were a 2-to-1, and most of, you know, bar culture has moved to a 1-to-1, but I find that you can use a little bit less with a 2-to-1 while, you know, having just a little bit better thickness in the drink without increasing the sweetness. So I like that. It's typically done with all white rum. I am going to be changing it up a little bit. I'll be doing 1.5 ounces of white rum with a very small amount of Plantation original dark rum. So that's the mix I'm going for today. 3/4 ounce lime, 1/2 ounce of the lemon, or 1/2 ounce of simple, excuse me, and a total of 2 ounces of rum, mint, and topping it with some lime seltzer, because tonight's theme is seltzer.
That is right. Are we all drinking seltzer? Brad, were you drinking seltzer? I missed that, and I walked away.
I am drinking a Dogfish Head Distilling Company Culinary Crafted Cocktail, Vodka Crush Blood Orange Mango, Culinary Crafted Vodka with orange juice and natural flavors.
I'm sorry, that's negative points for them saying Culinary Crafted twice.
Well, I'm just reading all of the labels, James.
No, I didn't say you got negative points. I said they did.
Well, they just wanted to get their point across.
Yeah. I don't James need your post marketing.
So you're making what? 2 glasses? Two drinks?
We learned last week he has to make one for his wife.
Yeah. So this week I will be crushing my own ice with this massive block of ice.
I think you should have your wife crush your ice. And does she, your wife, listen to this podcast, or is this one of those things that you keep a secret from her?
Yeah, she's in the other room.
Well, does she listen to the podcast? I mean, she can hear you speak. Does she have headphones on?
Yeah, she doesn't listen to the podcast.
Oh, so when she only hears your... I want to interview her. Well, excuse me. Let me take that back. I would like to have her as a guest on the podcast to see what it's like living with James. And then Chris, we can do the same thing with your family members. What is it like living with Chris? Like, we'll do a day in the life of. Okay. Remember, and we do have to schedule our story hour. We spoke about that last week. Chris, you're supposed to be the coordinator. Outside of the normal podcast, we're going to do the story, 10 minutes or so, where we each speak for a minute. But I really would
stories about yourself, like personal.
No. We're going to speak for a minute. We're going, you know, where I talk about something for a minute, and then James will pick up for a minute, then you'll pick up for a minute. We'll make one fluid story for our listening audience. But I think we would, you know, I've been trying to get some additional guests. I've been soliciting many people.
Yeah.
And I'm waiting for you to book some of these guests, but I would like to do a segment where you bring on your housemates and we can say, what's it like? You know, maybe we can do it all together.
I appreciate the sentiment, but she's already expressed she's not interested.
No, yeah. I've asked my wife too, and she's like, yeah, no. She does, however, she does listen to our podcast.
Hello, Mrs. You know. Chris. Can you give us some pointers, please? I'd appreciate it. I would talk
pointers
to Mrs.
how to deal with me.
I would talk to Mrs. James, but she doesn't listen.
Oh man,
so, James. Okay, go ahead, Chris. I'm sorry, I had a question.
No. I was gonna ask James, how's he doing with his drink?
Oh, we're watching him. He's taking a long time. James, I have a couple of questions for you. Well, there's one thing I was listening. Well, one thing, did you gentlemen see recently that Amazon bought iRobot?
I did not.
You did not see that.
I did see that.
And did you see the Wired article about why they're saying Amazon bought iRobot? It wasn't for the vacuum cleaners. It's for the data, because I guess that iRobot uploads all of the maps of the houses.
Yes.
To their servers. So Amazon wanted the data because now within your home, it knows the layout where your dog dish is. It knows where your kitchen is. It knows the furniture you have. Now, that could be something that, you know, you add that on to the Alexa devices and everything else, and they're supposed to, you know, enhance your shopping experience, because now they know what the layout of your house is, what you have, and they also know how often you vacuum, I think, too. But that's interesting.
That is interesting.
You know, and again, it's an article that somebody wrote. You know, again, it's, you take this, you know, what are this, you know, what's the validity behind the article? Where do they get their source information? But it was actually an interesting article, and it made me think, because also, you know, I spend a lot of time listening to podcasts. I'll listen to financial news in the morning. Occasionally, I'll listen to the radio, but I like to have productive time, so I try to listen to podcasts. And I listened to a podcast episode last week, and it was along the same lines, because they went into this whole privacy thing. And I posted the link into this, hoping that you guys would have listened to it before this podcast. But take a listen to it. And I would like to talk about the points on there that they mentioned, because they talked about, you know, privacy policies with like Ring. You know, it's all relevant to Amazon purchasing the iRobot. But like with the Ring, you know, what do they do? They released the report, I guess, on how often they turn over footage to law enforcement. And I guess Ring will, you know, turn it over without a warrant. And I guess they did, you know, 11 times so far this year, because if a law enforcement agency goes to them, and again, this is all from the article that I listened to. Again, it's, you know, you have to take the sources, you know, for what they are. And they were talking about how, you know, all the different cameras with Ring and with Arlo and some of the other ones, you know, Arlo was one they mentioned that they'll only do it with a court order. And then there was a few other camera services they talked about, which was actually pretty interesting.
And then
we'll talk about that. I'd like to get more into that. I hope you guys would listen to it, because there was a lot of information put out, and then we'll tell everybody what that podcast was. And then the other thing that they spoke about in that they branched over to was GPS in your vehicles. And I did not know, but you think, you know, people use Waze, Google Maps, you know, Apple Maps, and how they all have the traffic, for example. And this is just a concept, because I guess this happens everywhere. And I figured James would have some information. He's still making his drink, by the way, everybody. So I'm just talking, right? But they were talking about how the GPS in your vehicle will transmit information, and they have, for lack of better terms, a central data store that they all use. So it's not like, you know, they're saying, well, you have all this traffic, or how do they know about, you know, the speed of the traffic when there's not a lot of people on the road? Is everybody using that? It's actually, you know, one of the privacy statements when you use the GPS is it will transmit the information. They put it in the data store so they can actually start tracking the traffic. It was actually very interesting. Listen to the podcast.
So yeah, you're talking about the built-in.
Yes, the built-in GPS. The built-in GPS in your vehicle, because all the newer vehicles, they have the GPS where you have a navigation system built in, but they can actually track your car even when you're not using your map.
Yeah,
because
so
it's constantly doing, because I know my vehicle, I can go to an app on my phone, right? I don't have to do anything. I can see where I parked. I can see where my car has been, you know, and it's a very interesting, I would like to talk about that more. And it's interesting, and we'll put, maybe you should put a link to the podcast. Yeah, it's actually a really good podcast. You did listen to it?
It was. Yeah, I did. And it did make me curious, though, because when we first got our Subaru, and Subaru has a thing called Starlink, which is funny because the same name as, you know, SpaceX Starlink. So their infotainment system is called Starlink. They're not related whatsoever. I think Subaru had that name before Starlink, SpaceX had that name. But I remember when we got the car and how, you know, I used the Google Maps for GPS stuff. And of course, it tells you the traffic and all that stuff. So one day we end up using the one that's built into the Subaru. And you came to realize, like, how the hell does it know that there's traffic? I don't ever recall that these things knew about traffic. It made an assumption, or maybe it made like an estimate of your arrival, but it never knew like live traffic updates. So that is interesting. When I listened to this podcast that you're referring to, Brad, it made me realize that they do. It sounds like they are tracking your information among other vehicles, not just Subaru, because that's a central data store.
That's what the individual in this podcast was saying, and I would like to look more into it, and I will take that upon myself. Because it's very interesting. I mean, because my vehicle, I do not use the GPS at all. I never have. I've always used my phone. Right. I don't know why, because I have a new vehicle that has the maps that update automatically, all this information. I just leave the map up so I can see it. But it does show traffic on there. But it's they all go to a central data store and they share the information and then they distribute it amongst the apps. I mean, that's kind of, I don't want to say ingenious, but you know, it's like some of these things you never think about. How much information is actually being tracked anonymously?
Yeah. You know, data is king, right? Like it's, if you have the information, I mean, you have advantage. And, you know, it made me wonder, with all this tracking capability, you know, Apple announced their own dashboard, right? Their auto dashboard, the Auto CarPlay, not the CarPlay that you use from your phone. They're actually building an entire infotainment system where they can sell that to other manufacturers, to other car manufacturers.
But everybody already has a system. But I just want to pause for one moment and just say, James is still making his drink. James, see, this is where the efficiency of having a pre-made mix. I would have had 7 drinks in the amount of time it took you to make, not even one.
How many drinks have you had? Let me just confirm. How many drinks have you had?
James, I'm sipping on this one drink.
Okay.
On purpose. Then
enjoy your evening, sir. No rush. So I made the first one. I'm making a second one, and I'm making it a little bit different. I'm actually doing an absinthe rinse in the second one. And I used a slightly different ratio.
We have to stop recording this, because this would be great, because this would be recording James making his drink in the background while you and I are talking, and he's just moving all around, shaking, spraying, rubbing, squeezing,
adding.
I could take some of this video and just kind of put it all together, and we'll do our first video here, YouTube.
I'm not. I'm not. You know, of proper dress. If we're going to do recording, I need to be in the proper setting, and I need to figure out how to do what you talked to me about earlier today with this OBS filter. Red.
You're a good-looking guy. You know, we'll do it in the future.
Not this evening. I'm just, a little disheveled, and I want to get a better setup for my environment. Right now I'm sitting. I sound like I'm in a professional studio. Oh, I got to watch the pops there. See, I noticed that last time. I sound like I'm in a professional studio, but I'm really sitting at the kitchen table. And nobody would even know that.
Hey, Post-processing, man, it's powerful, okay?
No, it is, it is.
So let me go back really quick in your note about Amazon buying iRobot.
Was it $3.7 billion, I believe? I have to look at the number.
Yeah, some significant amount of money. But I knew about iRobot, by the way, that they were capturing an image or the layout of your house. I mean, they've been doing that for several years. And it's actually one of the reasons why I stopped using iRobot. I used to have an iRobot vacuum. When I stopped using it, first of all, it wasn't that good.
I want to correct myself. It's $1.7 billion all cash. I thought it was three. Excuse me. It was $1.7 billion all cash.
Yeah, it's still pretty significant amount, though. But I totally understand Amazon getting into that space and understanding, not only understanding your buying habits already, right? Now they're going to understand what your house looks like without even telling them. Now they're going to recommend, hey, by the way, you need this because I see that you have dog balls. I know you have a dog.
No, but that's not what they talk about. You can get that. It's funny if you think of like Amazon. I remember when Amazon started back as just books.
Oh, yeah.
Like it really was because it was books in his garage. Yep. And then, you know, you got into school books and they're like, James, how's that drink? He's finally taking a drink. You know, Chris and I are on drink 7. Oh.
It's fantastic, my friend. It's a great mojito in the summer. I actually really enjoy that little bit of absinthe in there. It's a minor thing. I mean, bottles of absinthe will go a long ways for me because I basically only use it for rinses in certain cocktails. The mint is delightful and punchy. The combination of Havana Club white, which is their Añejo Blanco, and Plantations Original Dark is a great rum mix for mojito. I know for all you purists out there, you're like, mojitos are only white rum. Deal with it. I like it this way. It's a delightful mix. So yeah, I'd say it's a good mix. That said,
James, you can drink the drink however you'd like.
Yeah. Fun thing here is I forgot if I wanted to top it with a seltzer, I needed to use a tall glass and not a short glass. So these are just nice and punchy short drinks tonight. And I lied earlier, no seltzer for me.
Good.
I'll use it as a chaser maybe.
Okay, well, yeah. we'll do some chasing. But to go back, one of the things with this whole thing is, you know, who reads these privacy policies? You know, how clear are these privacy policies? You know, one of the things with iRobot that everybody's talking about now is it says that iRobot, you know, I've heard different points of view in some of the news stories that I've been listening to about this. You know, some individuals read the privacy policies or read, you know, all that information. The rest of us usually just click, scroll to the bottom, click acknowledge. You know, I'm selling you my firstborn, just like in The Witcher. You know, if you read the Witcher series or watched the series on Netflix, how you have to, you know, pay a debt forward in the future when called upon.
Did you know that there was a company in the UK like 5 or 6 years ago for April Fools? They updated their terms of service. And the only change in their terms of service was an indication that by accepting the terms of service, they would own your immortal soul. And they had thousands and thousands of people accept that terms of service. And no one caught it. They had to announce their joke afterwards because they were expecting like it would end, like somebody would notice it and it would be a comment. No, they had to just disclose it so that the joke could be known because no one read their terms.
Well,
that's
the question is who reads like this whole privacy policy information, who reads the terms of service? You go with these motor vehicles. It's almost in essence by turning on the vehicle, you acknowledge that you consent to them sharing your GPS location. You know, the iRobot theirs is, you know, in the course of using the application or using the iRobot, it needs to map your house so that it knows where to go to clean your house, you know, so all these things
efficiently.
Who, James, do you read privacy statements terms?
You want me to honestly answer that question?
We're amongst each other. Nobody else is listening. This is just the three of us.
You're right. There's no podcast here. Brad, I read every line of a term of service that I ever accept for anything that isn't video games.
Hey, Chris and James. Let's take a quick pause from this episode to tell the listening audience about Buzzsprout. I want to tell them that starting a podcast is one of the best and most enjoyable decisions we've made. We understand that you too may be interested in starting your podcast and that managing a podcast may sound complicated or overwhelming. It certainly was for us at first. That was until we found Buzzsprout. Buzzsprout is hands down the easiest and best way to launch into your new podcast adventure. You can start with some gear you already have and a quiet space. Buzzsprout is so good they've helped over 100,000 people launch their podcast. Buzzsprout will help get your podcast into every major podcasting platform like Apple Podcast, Spotify, Google Podcast, and more. You can find our podcast on all of these platforms thanks to Buzzsprout. Also, with Buzzsprout, you get a great-looking podcast website, audio players that you can drop onto websites, detailed analytics, promotional tools, and the list goes on and on. Buzzsprout publishes new blog posts, podcast episodes, and videos every week. These resources help you learn the ins and outs of podcasting from the people who eat, drink, and breathe it. To start your podcast and get a $20 Amazon gift card, follow the link in this podcast show notes. Let Buzzsprout know that we sent you and help support our show. Buzzsprout is truly an easy-to-use and great way to start a podcast.
Every product and application that I go through, I read the whole freaking thing. When I bought my house and I got a mortgage, I sat down to sign the paperwork and they're like, it's all boilerplate, just sign it. Nope, I'm going to read every word on this
Those things I read. Like, you know, mortgages, what? Loans, things where I know like that, I read.
Every piece of paperwork that I sign, I read every single word to the best of my ability to make sure I can understand it.
Did you read what you signed with us for this podcast?
I didn't sign anything for this podcast.
You don't remember after those drinks that night that we all passed that document around?
I can tell you that never happened, sir, because I don't get blackout drunk.
That's interesting. But, you know, we'll do a quick shift back to, you know, the power of the Mac. It's relevant to this.
I need to hear the other sides of the table. Do you guys read the terms of service?
I'll get there. I do.
I'm long-winded.
It depends on what it is. Some things I do read. Some things I skim. Some things I say, it's 2022. Everything's already there. But what I have started doing is, you know, Chris, I know you have an Mac or an iOS. James doesn't. But what I started to do with a lot of things was have it read to me the text. Like, I highlight the text on a page, highlight the text in a document, and I actually have it read it to me so I can listen to it. So I've been doing that lately with a lot of things that I need to review. So lately, after listening to this and other things that I've seen, James, I do not read it. I have it read to me.
That's solid. I do audiobooks.
I don't do audiobooks. I do real books. I don't have time for audiobooks.
I'm sorry, but audiobooks actually allows me to get more done. I can go for a walk and exercise while doing a book at the same time.
I do podcasts for that.
Yeah, that's fair. I only have one podcast in my life right now, and I don't know if I have room for another one.
Which one is that? This one?
It's this really great. You might not have heard of it. It's Whiskey and Widgets.
I haven't heard of it. How do I find it? Is it on YouTube?
Find it on YouTube. Not
yet. kind of. A little bit. Maybe. But only for people who've already heard the episodes via other means. Only then would you know about this availability.
Quick, Chris, before you tell us, if you read the terms of agreement, how many feet are in a mile?
Oh, 50 to 80. But... Chris, I don't read it every single one.
I have another question for you, Chris. How many states are in the United States? And where did Chris go?
I think Chris just nuked out of it. Chris was just like, nope, I ain't doing this.
Chris, close. Did you hear what episode. I said, Chris?
No, I didn't hear you.
Chris, how many states are in the United States?
50.
Okay, good, good.
I feel like there was a question mark on that, but you got it, my friend.
I will say that I had a conversation with somebody and they asked me about the states. And I said, well, yes, all of the U.S. states. And they said, so not Alaska and Hawaii. I just shook my head. I said, well, maybe, you know, the lower 48, because when I lived in Alaska, you know, we did refer to the continent, like, I mean, you know, the continental where they're all connected as the lower 48 in Hawaii and Alaska because they're not connected.
Yep, not continental. That's fair. I want to admit something here. When I was a kid, I actually thought that continental breakfast just meant a breakfast that you were eating in when you were in one of the continental United States states. I did not understand the background of it, but that was the only time I'd ever heard continental used in another phrase. So my little child mind connected those two things.
So to go back to this privacy with tracking of GPS, privacy with using devices such as Roomba, other types of devices that will use tracking.
Let's just jump right to the real question, Brad. Does it matter?
That's what I was just going to say. Like, if you read these, you stated that you read every single one of these terms of services.
Yep.
Has there ever been a time that you have not used a product because you did not want to acknowledge the terms of service? And if so, what is that product?
There's been a few online products that I refuse to use because the terms of service basically said they were going to sell my information. And so I opted not to leverage that product. In addition to that,
can you disclose said product to us?
I'm not interested in tearing down people's companies just because they're shady and shitty. I will tear them down when they are ultra shitty. Got a little line there. That said,
Well, by you disclosing what you don't agree with and you're comfortable with, we're learning a little bit more about you. And that's I'm trying to do here, James.
Yeah, that's fair. So I'll share a little bit more.
I'm not asking you to deface a company because other people may do it. It's just you don't agree with them.
I'll share a little bit more about
in the world, James.
I'll share a little bit more about scenarios where I've looked at the terms of services, disagreed with it, and then what I've done. So there have been video games that I've purchased that were not online games. They're single player games and they've had really weird terms of services. And I've happily worked around their DRM to ensure that I didn't have to deal with the bullshit.
You just told me you read all terms of service that isn't a video game. And now you're telling me you circumvented somebody's DRM.
I'm trying
DRM
to tell you the story as to how I...
Okay, I'll
try to tell you the story.
I will mute myself right now, James. And I will let you...
Do you want story time or...
Oh, I like story time at night.
Okay.
James.
So
I'm going to mute myself. You give me a thumbs up when I can speak again. Ready? I'm muting
like
now. Game.
Talking stick known as a thumb. All right. so many references. So when I was first like digging into a lot of stuff with software, I had a lot of times on the work side where I had to do software agreements for customers and large organizations. And in my personal life, as it related to video games, I would obsessively like read through all that stuff. Well, half of it was the same between every company that I was looking at. It was all the same text. So, okay, that simplifies things. But then when you find things that are different, you got to look at it and like pay attention. Well, what I found was, generally speaking, for the most part, as it related to video games, didn't freaking matter. And I also, at some point, needed to draw a line between that obsessive, I'm going to read all of this, and I want to spend time doing a thing rather than reading legal paperwork. So what I opted for was to just not care as it related to video games. That is the thing that has EULAs that I just don't look at because I actually will sandbox my video games. I will isolate the potential risk that they can pose to me. And that, in my mind, mitigates the overall risk that the terms of services could have on me. But other products, like deciding I want to leverage Alexa or working with any kind of app or smart home tooling, I take a look at what am I accepting? And then I ask the question, do I want this service more than I want the privacy that I'm abandoning in order to have the service? And in most cases, the older I get, actually the less I care about privacy. When I was younger, I cared about it a lot. Then I realized I don't actually care, and the service that's benefiting me was more valuable to me than the secrecy that I could produce. So video games were actually the object lesson that gave me that tipping point to think about it more objectively, because I had so many different games I was trying, and it was like an obsessive waste of time. But for the rest of the things in my life, I still look at it. There are a few different products when I started looking at smart home equipment that, and I won't do any call outs because they are actually really good products. I just don't agree with everything that's in their terms.
James, I will speak.
Alternatives to like
long.
Apple Home.
I just want to be clear that you saying you don't agree with somebody's terms of service does not mean you're saying it's a bad company. It's just you are personally uncomfortable.
No, there's a natural chain of progression to then start talking through it. And then I know myself, I'm going to immediately be like, yeah, these shitty assholes that are like the worst freaking. And yeah, no, I don't need to.
Well, no, that's
that
the next thing we'll learn on. We'll talk about with you in therapy that, yeah, you know, not everything's against you. And just because you don't agree doesn't mean that they're out to get you or anything. Like, these terms of service and these privacy policies weren't formed to get it, James.
I agree with you. I will state there is a lot of phrasing that is designed to basically put the consumer at a disadvantage in a pretty terrible way in some of the docs. And I think that
from
sucks.
Time to time, reasonable, you know, there's such words, words such as that, you mean? So talking about the privacy, there's certain devices, I agree with you. It's strange because sometimes you figure the older you get, the less concerned. I mean, the older you get, the more concerned you would be because you just start to become maybe a little bit older and saltier. Then when you're younger and you're up and you're paying attention, you can see what's going on. I think some of it also may be generational. It's just interesting to see how people feel about privacy. And to go on to this, not to digress from the whole terms of service, Chris, do you have any comments on this whole terms of service or an agreement and how you feel about this stuff? Or you just scroll and click? Because now they make you scroll all the way to the bottom. And everybody knows.
Ooh, I spot check. I'll be honest, I don't look at every single one. Mostly in things where services I don't really care for, I usually don't put any of my information. But those I know that I'll be paying for, or the ones I'll be using on a daily basis, I do take a look at that.
So that's
just my take.
To help everyone out, because I feel like Brad's called out a few times that maybe I'm not being specific enough in my qualms with some EULAs. The biggest qualm that I have with a lot of EULAs is that of recourse, compensation, recompense, or arbitration.
See, this is what I wanted to get to. Like, what
specific areas
goes up James's ass?
Yeah, so those specific areas, basically, if a product does something that is materially harmful to an individual and the EULA states within it that you've already waived your rights to any sort of arbitration or any sort of recourse, compensation, or legal in any way, this is commonly part of a EULA. Basically, the main meat of what the EULA is trying to do is saying, if we for some reason did a thing that's harmful to you, you cannot hold us responsible. And the important piece is whenever any company
isn't it typically that you say that your recourse is to go through some sort of mediation first,
yeah,
and then you have to be in the state that you agree to go to, a state that typically is not your state, like to make it very difficult for you to have any recourse if you were to pursue it, because they can't say you gave up all your rights to breathe. It's,
so,
you know, if you have a problem, these are the steps that you have to do.
So there's two components to it, and it's your arbitration in general. There's typically clauses in that regard in mediation. There's if there's ever a need for like a class, let's say you're buying a product that later you find out has cancer, but using the product had a you, it's probably not going to hold up, but it makes it a lot more difficult unnecessarily. In general, this becomes worse when the EULA states in the EULA that it can change at any time, and then you don't actually have to reaccept the updated EULA. This can be a problem. And yeah, that's shady. Also very common.
Well, you're talking and about so, by use of the product, you accept any and all terms of service to the use of this product.
Yeah, and then they go ahead and say that those terms can change whenever they want and you don't have to consent. And like these can be really problematic. Like I don't, I'll just be blunt. I don't use Hulu as an example. That is a streaming service I won't use because of what I found last time I looked at their EULA. Now, I haven't read that in a couple of years now. It might be better or much worse. I don't know. But it had things in it that I had qualms with. Generally speaking.
Disney owns Hulu
now. Yes.
Yeah. And it's not like I super trust Disney. Nothing against Disney. But it's not like they've done anything to like demonstrate their moral superiority.
Mickey Mouse. Who doesn't trust Mickey Mouse and Donald Duck?
Anybody that knows the history of Mickey Mouse, maybe?
Mickey Mouse was stolen.
Yeah.
And you know, the Mickey Mouse copyright is about to come up to expire in 2024. And what they have been doing over the past year, Sonny Bono was helpful in, you know, extending the copyright limits. And now Sonny Bono's not here any longer. And there really isn't anybody in their court. So we'll see in 2024 what happens to Mickey Mouse's copyright.
So my point is there can be
James is shitting on a mouse. He's shitting on the little mouse. Everybody grew up with that little mouse, Fantasia, all afraid. And James just
Fantasia,
stepped on it.
Fantasia was a fantastic thing growing up.
And Bambi gets shot and everybody cries and James just wants to step on the mouse. No, James, you have some valid points. I do give you a little difficulty, I think, sometimes just because, you know, part of it's my entertainment. And I like to have our candid conversations where it's just the three of us. But just to jump for a second with this privacy.
Before we move on, there are a few other things. As long as you force me to open it up, let's make sure people actually know what else to look for. The other big thing to look for in a EULA is that of ownership of content, ownership of the product, ownership and acceptable use, and whether or not you can continue to use it. So in social media, this can be problematic. If you're leveraging social media and you're a creator, is the content that you're creating yours, or is it that of the site you're uploading it to? In addition to that, there's a bigger issue for me, because it's more relevant to my life. Let's assume that you're buying content that's a digital content, and do they have the right to later say you no longer have access to that content for any reason? And so does this mean you can buy something considering it an asset, but because it's digital, they can take it away? If I buy a CD and we talk music for a minute, and this is one of the things that like became the initial example of this, I have that CD. Something changes somewhere, it doesn't matter. I still have that CD, I can listen to it. If I have that in an iTunes library, can Apple decide that they take my iTunes library away for reasons, whatever those reasons might be? Or did I buy that? Do I own? Am I entitled to access to that library that I purchased one song at a time? Could be many thousands of dollars. This same concept can apply to anything in that regard. So ownership and access of a thing you're getting from them as a service or a product you're purchasing versus something content you're creating. These are all buried under EULAs.
My mind is going a million miles an hour on everything that you say because I'm branching because you hit on a few key points. The other thing that I had some questions for you about some privacy apparatus. But to go back to what you made me think of that is I sent you a link that I signed up for DALL-E, right? DALL-E 2, which is the AI picture generator where you can put in text and it will generate a picture. I put my name on the waiting list. I'm not on it yet, but I looked at what they have and I was reading all about it. You know, initially it's, you know, if you get picked that they're going to do like a million people. They're going to phase people in over time, whatever it changes constantly. Where you can put in text and AI will generate a picture based on the text that you write. Now, if you look at some of the pictures that people are generating, they're really good. And by using the service, yeah. you get so many credits, you get to generate it. But the interesting thing with this, right? So you can, if you're in this period, you get, you know, right now you get so many credits a month to generate pictures and you get like four pictures each. And then I think it's like 50 credits to start, 15 credits a month, and then you can actually buy additional credits if you want to generate more pictures. One interesting thing about that, to go with what James had stated, which he was talking about who has the right, in their terms, you have a right to use that picture wherever you want. You can generate the picture, you can post it on social media, you can do whatever you want. But do you also know who has the right to that picture?
Yeah, the vendor that you're working with. That's DALL-E. Very common.
So
yeah.
you could actually make a picture that comes out that becomes popular and they have a right to that picture. It's interesting. So that they have everybody creating. And again, I'm not going to take away from the technology, having AI generate. I'm saying it's amazing. It just goes back to a point that James was making, is some of these services that you utilize, that's one case right there where they own the picture. You have a right to use the picture. It's their picture and you can use that picture freely, but they could also, I could see points where they could capitalize on that picture because they own the picture. If you do something that turns out to be, something that, yes. Thank you, James. All these words. And we have to remember what the new word that we're using next week is too, because I already forgot what I'm supposed to define next week. I should have taken notes. Did we lose Chris? I mean, he's static and he's frozen. No. Oh, okay.
No, his camera
no, I'm here. You're talking about the DALL-E. I did play with Crayon. I don't know if you heard about that. So Crayon does something very
Chris,
similar.
I know you use crayons. You showed me some of your Crayola. You show me your Crayola box. You have the 64 box now you got for your birthday. Thank you.
No. This one is actually called Crayon. C-R-A-I-Y-O-N.
Look at that, James, shaking that drink. Do you see, Chris? Do you see that? It's like it's a big blur.
Yep.
Okay, Crayon.
Too fast. So Crayon, I posted in our chat here, but Crayon, crayon.com. So you're supposed to be able to just do whatever you want in terms of contacts, and it'll just draw for you. And it's the same thing, I think it's the same thing as DALL-E, formerly known as DALL-E Mini, but they've renamed it to Crayon. And your second drink there, James, looks good.
I just did Horse Jumping Over Moon. They should not take long, up to 2 minutes. I've been going for 7.8, and it's showing me Toyota ads. I'm doing this.
Really awesome, like YouTube short from a content creator that I do not remember the name of. Otherwise, I would cite them and pass some of you that way to go look at it. But it's really funny where they basically were joking about the AI getting so good at creating whatever you think that it's not creating drawings anymore. It creates something when you just say it's realistic. It's boom. It's in real life now. It's that realistic.
And I'm still waiting for my picture. It's quite entertaining. No, it is, because I do a lot of photo editing. We've spoken about that. And I use Photoshop and I use Lightroom primarily. I did buy that other one, Chris, the Luminar AI. I didn't buy the Luminar AI. But it's I got my pictures back, by the way. I did Horse Jumping Over a Moon.
What did it draw for you?
Let me I think I'll share my screen and you guys can see. 1 second, I'll share my screen.
I did Unicorn of the Clouds. It turned out I did one too. This is pretty cool.
I did Horse Jumping Over the Moon. So it has a horse. That first picture's horse. It gave me back 9 photos or images. First one was a horse jumping over a, you know, like an equestrian jump thing with the moon.
That eighth photo is pretty awesome, actually.
This one right here?
Isn't it?
That's pretty awesome.
The horse galloping at the moon behind it. Some of the other ones are a little strange. But it goes with that's a big, you talked about the AI with the editing and the content. I'm going to play with this anymore, this crayon. This doesn't, from what I've seen in DALL-E, I don't think this is as sophisticated, and this is just on what I did. But to go with James, what you're saying is like you edit content with, you know, things such as Photoshop. They put in a lot of AI now where you can select the sky, you can change faces, you can, and it will automatically do this for you, put perspective, you know, it will change people's tones, right? So if you say, okay, well, you know, let's identify the faces, is this person happy? And it will actually edit their face to be happy. You know, it will colorize their skin, clarify their skin. Now the I don't want to say controversy is in that arena is, are you really being creative with your content? You know, taking a picture. I know you talked about your wife, who doesn't listen to this podcast, likes to edit photos as well. You know, is it really, you know, an art where you have content if you're letting AI do it?
Here's a question. Is it still art if you use a tool of any kind? At what point is it no longer your art? If you are a potter and you choose to use a wheel and you use that wheel to spin the pottery, is that your art? You're using a tool. And now you keep taking those steps further. Now you're glazing that piece of pottery. You're doing it. Is it your art? I think we all agree it is.
Well,
and then
let's say later you do a
spray on with a pattern. Let's say that pattern was created using Photoshop. Is that your art? I think so. Now take it a step further. And like, as long as you continue those logical steps all ad nauseum, at some point you can come back to my favorite portion of all of this. And Brad, here's a word of the day for you, my friend. Technology has its root. The root of technology actually comes from the idea that you are doing craftsmanship and that the technology is to accomplish that craftsmanship and is an artistic expression. If AI is a technology, it is in fact art. And the question then becomes, who's the creator? That's the actual issue.
Well, that's, I think it goes with what you were saying there. I think one, it's all a matter of opinion. Two, in my opinion, you can use a tool to edit and create if you are editing, shading, for example, doing this. You're talking about a piece of pottery. If my hands are on a piece of pottery and I'm crafting it, I may be using a tool to smooth it out. I may choose the pattern. I may pick the glaze. I may pick all the stuff. I'm putting it all together. I'm using my artistic ability.
Is it not the same if you were using a pen with a Wacom tablet? Did the tablet make it or did you?
No, you're still doing it. I think where there's a difference is, I'd say, James, I took this photo, make it look good. Make this person look happy. Like, so, now it's my idea. I'm telling you what to do. Is it my creative prowess to say that, you know,
Is a director in a movie involved in the production of the movie?
It's a lot of the stuff, it's a matter of opinion. I mean, that's what I'm saying. I think that whole realm is, you know, whose opinion is it? And my whole thing, I'll tell you where I come down to on this, is disclosure, right? Yeah. If I take a photo and I edit the photo with whatever tool I use to edit it, if I at least say, hey, this is a photo that I shot raw and this is what you're looking at, or this is a photo that I've edited, right? It's, I think sometimes if you're misleading somebody, right, then I don't think it's art. I think,
Chris,
if you're disclosing,
what do you
think?
This
is my opinion. I think if you're disclosing information of where you, how you did this in an honest form and you put it all together, I think that's art. I'm being loose here. Please remind me.
I don't actually think you have to disclose it. I think the whole point is it's a product you produced. And as long as you actually produced it and you didn't take the art of a different individual that produced it, if it's yours, it doesn't matter what methods you use to get there. In fact, the methods might be an important secret component to how you produced your results.
So if I just wrote horse jumping over a moon in crayon and it generated a picture for me, is that my art? Using the word art loosely.
I mean, maybe. It depends. I mean, what if you crafted, let's take it to that logical extreme. I think extremes are helpful.
Dungeons and Dragons, And I crafted a maze with all these goblins.
You're losing me, my friend.
You know, all these wraiths. I know I'm trying to lose you on
purpose. Here.
I'm trying to take you down this maze dungeon.
You look at the extremes. So you take it to that extreme of what if the AI was good enough that you could say, I want a sun in setting in the eastern horizon depicted in the top left corner of this page. And I want this specific time of day, I want this thing, this foliage, I want this composition. And you wrote a 2-page diagram of what you wanted in words, and it crafted it for you. You designed and set out everything you wanted, and it produced the image. You directed it, so to speak. Is it your art or is it the AI's art?
That's why I told you, James. I think there's a lot of things that are in here. Chris, let me
actually give you a good example of this. If you take the creators of, creators of Spider-Man, right? Mm-hmm. So Spider-Man was created from the mind of Stan Lee, right? But who was the artist?
That's a good question.
Was it?
Which Spider-Man are we talking about? Because that makes a difference.
Yeah, but that goes to my point, right? Like, everyone drew Spider-Man, but it was originally created by Stan Lee. But it got drawn by so many people. Steve Ditko is one of the most popular one. And then there's also Todd McFarlane, who also drew him. But there's so many artists out there. Is it their art?
That's the fun thing, is the person that came to mind for me was actually John Romita? Romita? I don't remember.
Oh, Romita. Yeah, John Romita.
But the thing is, I think it's just a matter of which Spider-Man are you referencing, right? But you know what? I'll say this. It's exactly to Chris's point. It was the person who directed the ideas that we most likely recognize as it. It's Stan Lee. It wasn't the person who was creating it. It was the person who came up with it, who owned the idea.
Or Jack Kirby was the other artist, right? Like, he was the artist and illustrator of a lot of Marvel characters. Mm-hmm. But the Marvel characters, technically, most of them came from Stan Lee. But who gets the credit of the character?
How many hundreds of products do we have that, you know what, look at big companies. Do we recognize everybody that was involved on making an Apple computer or the original Windows PC? Or do we know Steve Jobs and Bill Gates? Yeah. Right? Like,
It came from their idea and their mind.
Who gets the credit for it? So my conclusion as it relates to this content is it's going to come back to the person who inspired it. And I'm just going to lay a foundation for next week in this same idea. There's a ton of images coming out right now that you all should check out from the James Webb Telescope. Who owns those images? What are those images? Is it James Webb? Whoa. Is it NASA?
We just went into another universe. And with that, I have so many things to say because I was reviewing all of the things that I wanted to say. But this I will say to you, James, and you alone. The greatest fear in the world is the opinion of others. In the moment you are unafraid of the crowd, you are no longer a sheep. You become a lion. A great roar arises in your heart. The roar of freedom. One of my favorites, OSHA. Thank you.
Thanks, everyone.
Thank you, everybody. Take care. Have a great evening.